to Northridge Community Church. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so excited that you're here to celebrate Jesus with us. As always, it's our hope and prayer that you would experience the power and the presence of Jesus here today in a way that motivates you to continue learning more about what it means to follow Him. We're in the message series called Road to Redemption, and we're talking about and following Matthew's version of the gospel in Matthew 27, watching what Jesus does along the road to provide us with redemption. And we're learning what it means to follow Jesus and be a part of that plan of redemption and to be disciples and to be believers who are followers of Jesus. I don't know about you, but as a believer and a follower of Jesus, I find that it's not very easy. As I examine and look at my life as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, I find that there are a lot of times where I kind of hide Jesus in my life. Whether it's not following through with an opportunity to share about Christ or not living out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. There's many times when I intentionally or unintentionally hide Jesus in my life. There's times when I would prefer to keep Jesus my own little secret. What about you? Are there times in your life when you try to keep Jesus a secret? Are there times in your life when you, on your faith journey, begin to doubt Jesus, wondering if He is for real? If Jesus is alive, if the whole faith thing is something that's worth investing in, there may be times when we struggle to really know what Jesus wants us to do or how to do it. So how do we change that? What do we do? How can we make our faith real and authentic? How can we make following Jesus less about religion and more about relationship? What do we need to do to be willing and ready to honor and worship Jesus no matter where we're at? Because the road to redemption calls for a response. It calls for us to respond to Jesus in a way that indicates we're followers. Now, our story today in Matthew is the story of two different groups of people that actually both belong to the leading priests, the chief priests, and the religious leaders, and two different ways in which they respond to the suffering and death of Jesus. See, there was a group of them that tried to make sure that Jesus and His mission stayed dead, that Jesus remained in the tomb. They tried to keep Him and His kingdom hidden and unavailable to other people. But there were two other people, who decided they could no longer hide Him, that they could no longer keep it a secret that they were followers of Jesus. Two people that decided it was time to put their faith into action. Let's take a look at that story found in Matthew 27, starting at verse 57. We're going to go through verse 66, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Jesus, hanging on the cross, was declared dead by the Roman soldiers. It's over. The suffering was over. Jesus' life was over. And any chance of Jesus saving himself seems to be over, right? Or at least Pilate thinks so, or maybe hopes so, because he's tired of dealing with this whole thing in the midst of a citywide celebration while Passover is going on. All this commotion among the people. Pilate is tired, probably angry, upset. And yet in the process, he's visited by two different groups of people. On Friday, Joseph of Arimathea comes to request Jesus' body so that he can honor him with a proper burial. And then on Saturday, the Sabbath day, the chief priests and the leading teachers break their own Sabbath rules to go in to see Pilate and request that he seal and guard the tomb. Interesting events. If you read all four Gospels, they all share a similar story. And the thing about that is if you see it in every Gospel, it must be important. There must be something very significant about this story. So the question is, what is it? What is it that Matthew and the other Gospel writers are trying to tell us about Joseph and about the leading priests? Let's take a look at that. First, I believe it shows that God's plan of redemption is unstoppable. If you're following along on your outline, that's the first fill in the blank. God's plan of redemption is unstoppable. You see, God is sovereign. That means He's in control of everything. There's nothing that can stop Him from executing the perfect plan to complete our redemption. So let me share a few thoughts and insights about this story that may help us to see how God's perfect and powerful plan leads to redemption, why it's important. First, it's important to know and understand that criminals who were crucified on the cross were often pulled down from the cross and just chucked into an open common grave. If they were criminals and they were crucified, they simply dumped them in a big pile of bodies from all the other people that were crucified, and they were left in a common grave. It was near the site of crucifixion. They were left to rot. They were left to let animals consume them. They were just ignored and dumped. Sometimes, family members were allowed to claim a body in order to honor them and give them a proper burial. The problem is that Jesus' family was from Galilee. They didn't have any tombs in Jerusalem. They didn't have a local place where they could bury Jesus. And even if they did, they were a poor family. They couldn't afford to purchase one. They were stuck. They had no place to put Jesus. They had no way to honor Jesus. And there was no way for a common person from Galilee to even approach Pilate and ask for the body. Not only that, Jesus was considered a criminal. He claimed to be a king. He claimed to be the Jewish king. The Romans would have seen Jesus as someone who was committed treason. There's no way in the world they were going to give anybody from his family a special right to take the body. Let's stop there and think about what would have happened to the story of the resurrection if Jesus is not buried in a tomb. If he's just chucked into a pile of bodies. In the uncommon grave, how in the world could God provide any proof of the resurrection? Was it really Jesus that came out of that pile? How do we know for sure if it was really him? Was he really dead? We don't really know that. How could How could the claims for the resurrection be verified if the people of that time and place knew exactly where Jesus was buried? He was placed in a tomb. Matthew shares that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He had become a follower of Jesus. And we find out more about Joseph in the other Gospels of Mark, Luke, and John. We find out that he was actually a pretty prominent member of the council. He was a part of the chief priests, the leaders, the religious leaders. He was among their group. Luke says, however, that Joseph was a righteous man. He was watching and waiting for the kingdom of God, and that he did not consent to their decisions or actions regarding what they did with Jesus. John says that Joseph had another person within the council who was his partner. His name was Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He was the priest, one of the chief leaders, the religious leaders who came to Jesus in the dark of night so no one can see him. It was there that Jesus explained to him what it meant to be born again. It was in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus when he shared John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, will never die, but they will live forever." That Nicodemus was a partner with Joseph in this situation. It's quite possible that while Joseph was visiting Pilate to request the body, that Nicodemus was standing near the body of Jesus on the cross, keeping an eye on Jesus just in case the Romans decided to remove it and throw it in the common grave. That way they could identify it and take it. The two of them took Jesus' body down from the cross. And John says that Nicodemus prepared 75 pounds of spices to prepare the body, and they wrapped it in a linen cloth, and they placed him in a tomb, and they rolled the stone in place. Think about that. In God's sovereign plan of redemption, he put Joseph and Nicodemus in the right place at the right time to honor Jesus, to give him a proper burial, and to make sure that everybody knew exactly where Jesus was. So that in a couple of days later, when Jesus rose again, there would never, ever be any question about who it was. The tomb would be empty. God uses Joseph's authority, his prominence as a religious leader, to approach Pilate because no family could. God used Joseph's wealth to provide a proper burial location. God used Joseph to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah 53 that said the Messiah would be buried in a rich man's tomb. John says that both of them, Joseph and Nicodemus, were secret disciples. They kept their faith and belief in Jesus a secret because they were afraid of what the other Jewish leaders would do to them. Joseph and Nicodemus were God's secret agents, ones that he used just at the right time to fulfill his plan of redemption. See, God's plan was to ensure that the people and the places involved in those events leading up to the resurrection would have enough evidence to convince everyone that Jesus was alive. God's plan of redemption is unstoppable. In his sovereign power and control, God orchestrated the time, the people, and the places to perfection in order to proclaim loud and clear that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. I want you to think a moment about Joseph and Nicodemus and what they were willing to do here, because they were willing to make themselves unclean. You see, for a Jewish person to touch a dead body meant that they would be unclean. It was Passover weekend. They were going to celebrate Passover. this one moment in their life. They've waited for a whole year to celebrate the Passover. They eliminated themselves from possibility to celebrate Passover by touching the dead body of Jesus. Why? There had to be something within them. Something that God placed in them to know that there's something special about this Jesus. There's something different about Him. Could it be that they recognized that Jesus was the Lamb of God? Could it be that these religious leaders who had studied the Scriptures their whole life, could it be that two of them finally put one and one together and figured it out that Jesus actually is who He said He is? That they no longer needed to celebrate the Passover because Jesus had come. That Jesus was the Lamb of God. Could it be that when they placed Jesus' body in that tomb, could it be that they had faith that somehow, some way, God would raise Him from the dead, that Jesus would come alive again? Could it be that even though it seemed like it was over, that all hopes of Jesus being the Redeemer were dead along with His body, could it be that Joseph and Nicodemus still had hope? That God would find a way. See, I believe that this story is in the gospel because Joseph and Nicodemus give us hope. They give us hope that our Redeemer is alive. That no matter what it looks like in our life, no matter what it feels like, Jesus is alive. That He conquered sin and that He would conquer death. That He would give us life eternal. Where are you at in your life right now? Does it seem like all hope is lost? Does it seem like God is dead in your life? Does it seem like there's no way that God exists? Do you have doubts? Do you have wonders? We can have hope. See, when it seems like there is absolutely no hope, God is working to fulfill His promise of redemption. When Jesus' body was laying in the tomb, when all hope of the Messiah seemed to be gone, God was working in and through Joseph and Nicodemus. They had placed their trust in Jesus. And even though it had been secret up until this point, it now seemed as though their Savior was not who He said He was, that He might not have been who they thought He was, but they didn't give up. Philippians 1 verse 6. Says it this way: I'm certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You see, when your faith seems dead, when it seems like there is no hope, God is still alive and still at work in you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling with, don't lose faith. Don't give up hope. Joseph and Nicodemus were secret followers of Jesus. Nobody knew except the two of them, possibly a couple other people. Think about this. If there was ever a perfect time for them to walk away, now would have been the time. If there was ever a perfect time for Joseph and Nicodemus to say, oh, that can't be true. Forget it. They didn't do it. Matter of fact, they took a huge risk to honor and to worship Jesus. They followed through with what God called them to do. Can you imagine what happened to their faith a few days later when Jesus rose again? My friends, God's plan of redemption is unstoppable. He lives in you. If you just keep believing and keep hanging on to the hope that we have, keep pressing on, He will come alive in you. He will give you life if you just have faith to hang in there. The second thing I think we can learn from this story is that God's plan is for us to be active ambassadors. God's plan is for us to be active ambassadors. Joseph and Nicodemus were secret disciples of Jesus, but they were used by God to play an important role in the story of redemption. They were secret disciples who decided that they could no longer hide their faith in Jesus. They risked everything to honor Him. Joseph took a risk to go and approach Pilate, ask him for the body in a time when Pilate was stressed out and angry. Nicodemus took a risk to be present with Jesus at the crucifixion, waiting for the opportunity to take His body. Both of them took a huge risk, stepping out from among the religious leaders, the rulers, and said, "We can no longer be silent. We can no longer go along with what you guys say about Jesus. We're stepping out and declaring that Jesus deserves honor, that Jesus deserves our worship." They stepped out of the darkness of night and into the light of day, boldly declaring their faith and putting it into action. They answered God's call to take a risk, to be a part of His story and His plan of redemption. Friends, that's what God's calling us to do and to be. As fellow believers and followers, it's time for us to stop being secret disciples. It's time for us to become secret agents and active ambassadors for Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead to come back to God." It's time for us to stop worrying about what other people think and start honoring and worshiping Jesus in a time and a place when it's not very popular to do that. It's time for us to take action in our faith so that we can play a part of the story of God in His plan of redemption, being obedient to follow God's call in our lives. God had put Joseph and Nicodemus in a special place to help Him execute His plan. God is calling each and every one of us to be a special part of His story, to be people who are called by Him to execute His purpose, to fulfill His plan, to go out into the world and tell people about God's plan of redemption, that we can have life through Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross and through the resurrection, that we can have life. Why are we being so secret? God is calling us today to go out and be ambassadors. My challenge for you today is the same one that Jesus commanded His disciples: to go and be His DEA agents in the world. Third fill in the blank in your outline is to be a disciple, to be discipleship and evangelism agent for Jesus. Jesus commanded His disciples in Matthew 28, "Wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even until the end of time." It's time for us to become DEA agents, to help people to trust and to follow Jesus. What does that mean? It means we're to be intentional to initiate discipleship in our lives, to go and to make disciples, to help people become disciples. It's disciple making is about changing our hearts and changing the hearts of other people towards God, helping them to come to a place in their life where they can be baptized and put their trust, their faith into Jesus, to help them to rely on God's grace and His promises and His power in a way that helps transform our lives as well as theirs. Disciple making is about learning and teaching obedience. It's about sanctification, growing in our holiness to become more like Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. He is the focus, the constant presence in discipleship. And He will always be there, just like He promised. To be a disciple is to become increasingly like Jesus, that our character is formed to be more like Him. And as we are discipled by Jesus, we begin to go out and make disciples of other people. And when we do that, an inexpressible peace will rest and fall upon our souls. It's time for us to stop being secret disciples. It's time for us to step outside of our comfort zone so that we can be used by God to be part of His story, to invite other people to be a part of His story, to be a part of His plan to redeem the broken people and the broken lives in this world. Where are you at? We all have work to do. God has called us to be His secret agents. God has called us to be His ambassadors. For some of you, that means it's time to take the next step in your faith and get involved in a small group, some sort of community group where you can learn what discipleship is all about, where you can learn and grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. And some of you who are in that already need to take a step of faith and take the next step in your journey of faith by becoming someone who is willing to lead a group or facilitate a group. It's time for us to take Jesus' command seriously, to no longer be secret disciples, but to be people who are His ambassadors, who are willing to do whatever it takes to be His disciples. I want you to think about Joseph and Nicodemus. They didn't have to do what they did, but God used them to do an amazing thing, to honor and to worship Him at a time when it just didn't seem like it was worth it at all. And just imagine what it was like for them a couple days later when Jesus came alive and had to transform their life. They took a risk. They took a risk to be a part of God's plan of redemption. They took a risk to be active ambassadors for Jesus. God is calling us to do the same thing. In this time of Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, may it be the time where God gets a hold of your heart and your mind and motivates you to take the next step in your faith. Pray and ask God, what is it, God, that you're calling me to do? What is it, God, that is my part of the story? What is it exactly, God, that you want me to do to go out, to step out and be an active secret agent for you, to be an ambassador who helps disciple people, to build your kingdom so that I can honor and worship you? That's what it's all about. That's what God has called us to do. And if you're a believer, if you're a follower, if you call yourself a disciple, it's not an option. And God goes, challenges us with this, to go and be disciples. But He also gives us a promise that He'll never leave us. We're not on our own. That He will help us in it, just like He did Joseph and Nicodemus. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank You for this story that we have a tendency to just blast through at Easter. The story of Joseph and Nicodemus and how You used them in Your plan of redemption, and how they stepped out of their comfort zone in order to be disciples who honored and worshiped You. Help us to do that. Help us to be that kind of disciple. Lord, fill us by Your Spirit. Motivate us. Give us courage. Empower us to take the next step in our faith to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple of announcements before our offering this morning. If you're a guest here and you want to know more about what it means to be a part of the church here at Northridge,